Good afternoon. I'd like to call the meeting to order. We do have a quorum. So the first item on the agenda is delegations. Are there any delegations from the public that would like to address policy committee? If not, we'll move to the approval of the minutes. You all have received a copy of the minutes from the December 7th meeting. The chair would entertain a motion to approve those minutes as submitted if there are not any corrections or additions to those.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion passed. Next item would be staff reports, financial progress report. Mr. Segedy.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor. Before I get started with the financial progress report, I just wanted to recognize a couple of the new elected officials that are around the table today. Mayor Drew from Stowe is joining us for the first time, so congratulations to you. Also, Mayor Broska from the city of Streetsboro, Mayor Judge from Barberton, and we also have Bob McGregor from Chippewa Township, new trustee. So, congratulations all of you on your elections, and thanks for joining us here at AMATS. And I'll speak to all of you personally, but if there's anything that we can do to help you planning-wise, funding-wise, please, my door is always open. Give me a call, and we'd be glad to come out and meet with you. Financial progress report. This financial progress report takes us halfway through our fiscal year, which begins July 1st, so these numbers are as of December 31st. This is attachment 3A in the folders. If I direct your attention to line 10 at the bottom, AMATS has expended 46% of our budget, 50% through the year, so we're under budget. We're right where we should be. And I don't really have anything more detailed to report on any of the individual subcategories. All the work that we have in the work program is proceeding as planned. So, with that, if you have any questions, I would be glad to answer those, and if not, we would be looking for a motion for approval.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion passes. The next item is the technical progress report. We have a report from Mr. Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to update the committee on a few items that have happened since the new year has taken place. First, I want to talk a little bit about track funding. It's an ODOT program for large special investments. If many of you might have seen in the paper that they had made a new announcement where the Cleveland Intervelt Bridge was pushed back a number of years. That also impacted some of the projects in our area. Our region had applied, ODOT District 4 and the City of Akron had applied for the Central Interchange, Main Broadway Interchange, and then also the West Leg and the Kenmore Leg. We did receive funding for Main Broadway for PE and detailed design in 2012 and in 2013. However, the Kenmore Leg, and Ralph, correct me if I'm wrong, but fell off the list completely. So they have been doing a little bit of, I think, soul searching in terms of the money that's actually available in that track program. And it is affecting all of the large urban cities which have major interstate projects. They're all getting pushed back a number of years. That does have a big impact, I think, as we move forward and thinking about the future. Also, just from an AMATS perspective, we are getting ready to print our bike users map. I believe we discussed this in the December meeting. We just put out a bid for prints. That map will be available hopefully in February, and it has a detailed description, and Chris will get into it in the draft bike plan of what roads are, you know, easiest to ride on for a biker, which roads are hardest. That map will be made available. We should have it back in February. We'll start distributing it to our members as well as to cycling shops and other bicycling advocates to get out the word, especially as the weather hopefully starts to turn in March and April and more people are out recreating and also commuting by bicycle. Another thing, AMATS is now entering the world of social media. I'm sure a lot of you are, you know, very excited about that. We do have now a Twitter page. It's at AMATS Planning. If you are on Twitter, come find us. We also have a Facebook page. What we're trying to do is keep it updated by especially finding current articles that are related to transportation, infrastructure bills, and kind of new ideas that are happening in transportation, trying to share those with people that are following us. So it's also a way we're hoping that we can reach out to more members of, or more citizens of the area, and get more feedback on all sorts of reports that we do. So we're really hoping that that will help us with our kind of our citizen participation. So we've talked about, there is hasn't really been any new news on the Ohio Turnpike. There has been, you know, since with the track funding and the discussion about there not being enough money for infrastructure, there has been some supposing that that was somewhat politically calculated to support the turnpike, but I think it really is more the reality of the funding. But we haven't heard anything. The study is ongoing with the turnpike. That decision or the feasibility study of leasing or moving back to ODOT should be due in July, but nothing really has moved on that. And then finally, there is going to be an announcement supposedly tomorrow from the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee of the House of Representatives for a new transportation bill. They're proposing now a five-year bill at $260 billion. The additional shortfalls from the gas tax will be made up from new oil and gas revenues from exploration in the United States. It's been the supposed rumor. Just for a point of comparison, Safety Lou was a four-year bill and was $244 million. So basically that came out to Safety Lou is about $61 billion a year. This new bill that the House is proposing is about $52 billion a year. So it is would be a cut to infrastructure spending compared to the last federal highway bill. However, the Senate has a two-year bill that's out as well that is would stay at the same funding levels currently or established in Safety Lou. And at this point, there hasn't been any movement, but we're expecting or hopeful that there might be some discussion. However, I guess as an election year, we're not sure what could possibly happen for the rest of the year. But with that, if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Otherwise, that concludes the report.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
The next staff report is the status of the Emmett's sub-allocated federal funds. That would be attachment 3C. Mr. Bodison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to touch on one issue under this agenda item. We've mentioned this at the last meeting in December. ODOT has a proposal to take back a certain amount of funds that are carried over by the Ohio MPOs. The reason they're doing this is because I think over the last several years, the average carryover amounts from all the MPOs in Ohio have been like $150 million. And obviously, there's a lot of needs out there, but this money keeps getting carried over year after year. What we know about this proposal at this time is that it's going to be based on individual MPOs. So in other words, if NOAC is not spending all their funds, ODOT will take back their funds and not our funds, which is a good thing, obviously. There's going to be some waiver processes involved so that we can somehow build up credits so that if we're not spending all of our funds in one year, let's say, for example, we have a number of projects that are scheduled to sell next year and we're not spending all our money this year. Well, the waiver could be that we're trying to build up the funds so that we have enough money for the following year, and that's something that would be accepted. And there'll be other waivers in this process also. At this point, I don't know exactly what they're going to be. And this will start in fiscal year 2014 carryover. They'll let us carry over 75% of our annual allocation starting with fiscal year 2014, and then in 15, that'll go down to 50%, and then in 16 and on out, we'll be only allowed to carry over 25% of our annual allocation before they'll start taking back the funds and the funds will lapse. One thing that we did learn, too, is this is also going to not only it's going to be based on individual MPOs, it's also going to be based on individual funding programs. So we have the STP, CMAQ, and enhancement. So we need to be spending 75% starting in 14. We can't let anything over 75% lapse in those individual funding programs. The one catch is that in the STP program, we do have something called a minimum guarantee. So we get about $10 million in STP. Well, we're guaranteed a little bit over $8 million of that. So ODOT's giving us an additional about $1.5 million in STP. So basically what that actually means is that we will hardly ever have the option of lapsing STP fund because we're guaranteed a huge percentage of that already. If we do have a lapsing fund, it'll come out of the CMAQ or enhancement funding programs. ODOT's going to formally present this presentation, this proposal to Ohio MPOs at a meeting that we're going to have tomorrow in Columbus. What will likely happen is it'll a subcommittee of the Ohio MPOs will get together to help ODOT refine this process, and that was their suggestion. So it's good that they're coming to us, and they're also asking us to help, you know, finalize this proposal. So they do want to talk about it, and based on what we've heard so far, it's not supposed to be a punitive program, but it more just to encourage the MPOs to spend the funds that they do have. And we're already well on our way of doing that, especially with over programming in this round of funding. So once that's MPO subcommittee gets together, refine ODOT's proposal on these lapse funds, we'll get together with our TACTIP subcommittee to see how that impacts our funding program, if it does any, and then we'll go get back to this committee to give you any final recommendations. And so that's all I had on this item.
Are there any questions?
Will trading still be allowed?
Yes. But the trading won't be figured in. You know, we can't trade our money away and say we've used it. But we still will be allowed to trade, yes.
And Ralph, maybe just to expand on that a little bit, and Victor did a good job of covering this, but he's going to give a presentation later on the agenda with the new projects that we're programming, and we'll delve into this issue a little bit more. But I would say it's fair to say that the staff is quite confident with the way that we're programming projects in this round of funding that we're going to be meeting all those minimum amounts, so we don't anticipate lapsing funds. And that'll have the benefit, definitely as far as all the communities are concerned, we'll get more money out on the street that you guys can use in your local communities, but also the practical necessity of we don't want to be sending money back to Columbus that could be used in this region.
Well, really, I was thinking of it the other way. It's if someone can't use theirs, it was going to go back anyway. It could be sent to an MPO who's overprogrammed.
Yeah, and the trading, like Victor said, that will be an option. So if we ever did get into a crunch with funding, I think there are going to be other MPOs that are going to be taking advantage of this in programming a lot of projects, and I think we would have opportunities to trade with them if we had to.
Are there any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Clerk. The next item is old business. We do not have any on the agenda. We move into new business. First item would be the draft for 2013 Transportation Planning Work Program and Budget, and we have a presentation by Mr. Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We've just hit 2012, which means it's time for us to start planning our 2013 work program for the fiscal year. As many of you know, our fiscal year runs from the 1st of July through the end of June, so starting on July 1st of 2012 will actually be the beginning of the 2013 calendar. This is a draft work program which basically outlines how we plan on using federal planning dollars that pays for our staff and kind of the work program items that we'll be producing over the next year from July through June of 2013 fiscal year. We're estimated to receive $1.14 million in federal consolidated planning grant funds. That is needs to be matched by local communities and the state at 80-10-10. If you look at table one on your chart, that shows how with the 2010 census data, your community gets your local share to participate with AMATS. So the total contributing members is roughly 143,000 from the communities. Basically, the big things that we're going to be working on and that we've programmed for in 2013 is that there will be a new TIP in 2013. We will also be developing the inputs for the next regional transportation plan, as well as developing and getting ready to complete the transportation plan. And then we will also be reevaluating the coordinated public transit human services plan and continue to work with the Northeast Ohio Regional Sustainability Sustainable Communities Consortium, which, as you might remember, we received as part of a $4.25 million grant. And also, if I can introduce Jeff Anderle, who's over there in the corner, he's the Communications and Engagement Director of the NEO-SCC Engagement Effort. So if you're interested in finding out more of the program, he's the guy to talk to. But with that, if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
If there are no questions, the chair will entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Mm-hmm. Motion passes.
Thank you,
Mr. Fager. The next item would be the draft of bike plan. And we have a presentation by Ms. Benison.
Hi, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As part of the process to update the 2035 Regional Transportation Plan and following up on one of the recommendations from the Connecting Communities Initiative, the staff has undertaken beginning a regional bike plan. This is a first draft, and we're bringing it to you now to get your input, to let you know what we've done, and make sure that we're on track. The purpose of the bike plan is to enhance and increase bicycling in the region recreationally and to help promote it as a viable transportation choice by trying to increase safe, efficient, accessible routes and facilities. The recommendations from this bike plan will be eligible to go into the regional transportation plan and then be eligible for funding. As part of this process, the staff has undergone a series of analyses. We've also reached out to local communities, park districts, and several bike groups. So far, we've had three public meetings. We had one in Kent, Akron, and an additional one in Akron. The purpose of these meetings was to introduce kind of what AMATS is to the bike groups, to get their input on things regional bikeway needs, and to also get input on the kind of projects that AMATS is doing as far as biking. We've also been participating in events such as Bike Week. We've gone to things like River Day and Monroe Falls and participated in a couple or had booths at different activities in Portage County, such as one of their adventure races. So one of the things we did was look at how we measure up to other communities. We did a benchmark cities analysis. We used the central city data, so it's just for these cities, not for the region, because that was the easiest to get accurate, detailed information. So as you can see, two cities stand out, Ann Arbor and Madison, Wisconsin. Madison has a combined mileage of 130 for bike paths and trails, and Ann Arbor has 105. The city of Akron has 17. So, you know, this table doesn't include the towpath trail, which is one of the things that is a great regional amenity and that this committee has put a lot of money into. But I think one thing that does show is that there are certain communities that are putting a lot of effort and money into making their region more bike friendly, and they're not in necessarily a sunny 70 degree weather communities. Another thing is, you know, these are potential cities that we can look to for good examples and best practices as we move forward. As Curtis mentioned earlier, we did a bike user map which analyzed the major roadways for cyclists, looking at ADT, lane widths, posted speed limits, and it rates the roads either for beginner, intermediate, advanced, or expert cyclists. And the purpose of this map is to help cyclists plan routes based on their comfort level and ability, maybe avoid certain roads. And as he said, we'll have a printed out map, which will be like a nice fancy map. Looking nicer than this, but you know, kind of like a big map. So if you're interested, find me later. But by the next meeting, we should have plenty of those to pass out if you're interested in taking those to your communities. Another thing we looked at was activity centers. So we're trying to look at, you know, where might draw, what certain amenities might draw cyclists. So we highlighted clusters of employment, retail. We looked at schools, libraries, grocery stores. We're also looking at a lot of the transit routes serve all these areas, but looking at transit. And then So those were some of the major analyses that we did. After looking at these, we decided we wanted to do two sets of recommendations. We have off-road, which primarily look at enhancing our trail system, and then on-road, which focus more on different types of investments to help promote bicycling as a commuting and as a transportation choice. If you look at 5B in your packet, it has the following two maps and tables. So our on-road recommendations are essentially a series of priority corridors for future bike investments. These were selected by looking partially at the activity centers and some of the other analyses to look, help create a bike network to increase on-road safety and help people maybe connect areas that they would be interested in biking. You know, these are not necessarily saying that every street on or every corridor on this map, you know, has to have a bike lane, but as these, you know, as infrastructure for biking is considered or as these roads maybe come up for projects, these are areas that maybe should potentially be considered further for bike investments or roads that are parallel them. But, you know, these are some of the major corridors for roads, but that also means for cyclists. It makes it easiest to get from point A to point B. For off-road, the recommendations we discussed with the local park districts, bike groups, local communities. With the towpath completed through Summit County, you know, we're looking to other trails to enhance the regional trail network. As you can see, a lot of them, there's new trails, but, you know, continue the connections and the money that we've already put in. One of the suggestions at TAC was looking at how the transit routes serve different trails and trailheads, so that's another analysis that we'll be doing in the future. Our next steps is we are going to take these recommendations to the plan update subcommittee, which Curtis will talk about in a moment. We're going to continue discussing them with local communities and the bike groups. We're looking for approval in March, and any comments or feedback that you have, take it home, look at it. You know, call me or email me with any feedback that you have, especially for the on-road. This is the first time that, you know, AMATS is tackling this. So if you have any suggestions, I'd be happy to hear them. And with that, I'm done and I'm happy to answer any questions. Yeah.
I'm glad to see this. One of the things that seems to me to be important is the integration of bicycling with public transportation. I have a daughter who lives in Boulder, Colorado. They have developed an integrated program there of bicycling and public and bus transportation, which I think has really changed her transportation habits. And we've got to somehow change our transportation habits. And to publicize that kind of integrated program, that is seeing public bus transportation and bicycle transportation as a whole, is, I think, a useful thing to do. And I'm sure that you are including that in your discussions. Just wanted to make that comment.
Thank you. And I know a lot of the buses currently have bike racks on them, and that's one thing, you know, we're definitely trying to integrate as we move forward and looking at how the transport or the bicycle system can, you know, more integrate into the existing public transit system. But no, that's a good point. It's something we're looking into.
And Harold, if I could add one more thing on that, one thing that we are going to be launching also in March is we're going to have a new website devoted to all things bike related in Summit and Portage County, which is going to be called switchinggears.org. And I think it'll play in very closely to the fact that we're on Twitter now, that we're hoping that we will get input also from people that are out riding. For example, if they find there's a connection lacking with a bus or with other modes of transportation or even with problems they encounter out on the road, we're hoping to gather input via Twitter and other social media that we can then share with the local governments and also work into our own planning. So that's another one of our approaches, I think, to try to get that input and improve the connectivity.
I'd like to request that consider a presentation of this bike plan in Northern Summit County. We'd be very happy to host it at the Hudson Library We have a very active in Hudson, very active bike club, about 150 members in Hudson Bella Club. They partition us all the time as far as our city government is concerned. Coming up this summer with the resurfacing of Stowe Road from Norton to 303, the Hudson City Council has opted to add bike lanes to it at a substantial cost. But a lot of that is because of the biking activity that we do have in Hudson and the need for safe pathways. I'd like very much for contact me or let's work it out. We're very happy to host that and let neighboring communities know that we're going to display this plan. The other thing I'd like to have you focus on also is that cyclists, many of them do spend a lot of time down in the valley. And that circuit from Peninsula up through to Akron, through Cuyahoga Falls and Akron and back down, is sorely in need. I know I've talked to Don about this, and he's done what he can with his budget, but it really does need to have MS focus and our assistance to help that. That is very heavily used.
Okay.
And that not only includes the appropriate bike lanes, but the maintenance of those bike lanes.
No, thank you. We definitely love to come and get, you know, if we do it sooner, we could get input on the plan. If we do it later, you know, we could bring the plan, get more ideas for the website, pass out the bike maps. But that would be a great resource for us to
set up as soon as you can get there.
Okay. We'll be there. No, and, that's a good point on the trail. Let me, if we don't have that, I'll double check or check with you guys to make sure that we get that incorporated into the plan as a priority.
I didn't see much in here as far as what little I could see in this map. I'd like to have one of the bigger ones to take a look at as far as the valley is concerned. But that certainly is heavily used, not only by the more experienced bikers, but a lot by the inexperienced bikers, too. Mm-hmm.
Mayor, are you speaking mostly to, like, Riverview and Akron Peninsula, the two main?
I am.
Okay.
Yes. Well, I really would like to see every arterial road with a bike lane in it. I know that is a lot to ask, but certainly we're happy to support that.
That was great. Thank you.
In Northern South County.
Addressing Akron Peninsula Road, Riverview Road, and some of the other roads going into the valley, they're not on the federal aid system. Riverview is, Akron Peninsula isn't. AMS money cannot be spent on federal aid facilities. So we, the county engineer, has been able to secure a $400,000 grant, which we used to pay the section of Akron Peninsula Road last year. We have a $1.9 million grant, which we're going to pay the next portion of Akron Peninsula Road this year. Plans are finished, ready to go. We did use STP funds to capture money for one section of Riverview Road between Cuyahoga Falls and Peninsula. Later this afternoon, we're going to vote on an amendment to add two more sections of Riverview Road for resurfacing, including shoulders. ODOT will not permit us to build bike lanes with resurfacing funds. They will let us do shoulders, so we're putting shoulders out. So we've taken the two main arterials on the east side and west side of the Chicago River, and we're improving those outside of the municipal corporations. We are also looking for ways to improve the township roads. We're working closely with the National Park Service. We're identifying where they would like us to see us build trailheads, parking facilities, and make other improvements. So even though it's not on the ground, there is a lot of work being done in the park at this time.
Well, that's really terrific, Joe, to hear that, and because it needs a lot of work.
It does.
I have ridden those bike lanes, and shoulders are insufficient. With the repaving, I'm hoping that you're having wider lanes and then a shoulder versus the narrower lanes that we've seen. But if there's something we can do and promote, initiate, whatever, to provide the funds for bike lanes, not just the shoulders, I think we should take that up.
The biggest problem we have out there is we go much wider than we currently have, we run into wetland issues. And when you have wetland issues, all you're doing is adding more and more environmental documentation as anybody that's put together a project realizes. We want to build the shoulders and lanes as best we can right now and come back with other features that will make it more attractive to the park. We've had several meetings with the Park Service and letting them pick where they want. We're also going to make the park look more like a park. One of the things that Dan Austin has asked us to do is get rid of the guardrails, steel guardrails out there, and use a wooden guardrail. This next project will be using the federal DOT standards for National Park Service roads. So there are changes coming to the whole area.
Are there any further questions with regard to the draft?
I was just going to say one thing to your comment to keep in mind. You know, I think there's definitely roads that we can't put money towards, or there's no way that AMAC can fund, you know, this entire plan. But we hope to, you know, make a plan that establishes kind of a framework for moving forward with a regional network, you know, to give a vision of, you know, where we could make these connections as we move forward with transportation projects.
Any other questions? Thank you very much. The next item is the appointment of the 2035 Plan Update Subcommittee. Mr. Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Currently, under the existing 2030 Regional Transportation Plan, Transportation Outlook, it was approved back in 2009 in May. As I mentioned during the work program, we are starting to ramp up efforts for the next transportation plan, which will be 2035 horizon year, and it'll be scheduled to be completed next May in 2013. What we do is, as we begin to develop inputs like the bike plan, we'll have a sidewalk plan, transit plan, we'll look at freight needs in the area. As we do that, we like to get together a group of professionals to help kind of guide the process along. That's what we call the Plan Update Subcommittee. So we are looking for this committee to approve a motion to appoint a Plan Update Subcommittee. I think the key thing to recognize in this is that we put together a list of names, but the idea is that any member is welcome to attend, and we would encourage it. We don't want to limit it to anyone in particular. We do have a list of names. I won't read through all of them, but we think will help get us a good mix. I know Mayor Curran, we've already talked with some officials from here. We will have representation on the board from the city. So, you know, we're very open to having everyone, but we wanted to kind of get a list established of people that we can start inviting to these plan update subcommittees. The staff is requesting approval of a motion, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions? If there are no questions, the chair will entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Is there any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion will pass.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is resolutions. Resolution 2012-01, approving projects to be funded under the TEP program and adding these projects to the Transportation Improvement Program for calendar year 2012 through 2015. Mr. Bodison.
Thank you. Yeah, as you know, this round of funding includes our STP, CMAC enhancement, as well as our resurfacing program. Back in August, when we started this process, this committee agreed to over program in this round of funding, and the reason was to reduce our carryover balances. And so the decision was made to over program by 20% more than was expected to be available through 2017. And that would equal approximately $53 million. We've received 112 applications under our four funding programs. The request was up for over $126 million. And if you'll recall, back in December, we already had the resurfacing program scored, and this committee agreed to fund 25 of those projects at $8.3 million. Again, when we began... The funds that were available, STP, was about $21.5 million, CMAC, $21 million, enhancement, $3 million, resurfacing, $8 million. These tables are in your handout there. I'm not going to go through each one of these projects individually. This is table number one. This is the transportation enhancement program. I took out some of the columns and stuff so I could get it up on the screen and get it at least halfway visible. The TACTFP subcommittee, when they met back in December, is recommending to fund 8 of the 10 projects that were submitted under our enhancement program. Table number 2 is our surface transportation program, and the subcommittee is recommending to fund 12 of the 27 projects that were submitted for funding, and then that would equal the $21.5 million that's available. And then table number 3 is our enhanced or congestion mitigation air quality program, CMAQ program, and the recommendation is to fund the top 15 projects out of the 21 that were submitted under that funding program. And then that equals the $21 million that was available there. So this next slide is a version of your table number 4 that's in that same agenda item packet. And this shows the impact on our funding program once you put in those 3 funding programs, enhancement, SSP, and CMAQ. And again, I had to take out a lot of the columns and the rows just to make this fit on the screen. But it's the same numbers, basically to show you down at the bottom here. So if we plug these CMAQ, SSP, and enhancement, we plug them all in our program. Some of these are already program projects, and we know the funding's going to go earlier than 16 or 17. And then you can see what our resulting balances is. We start overspending in 16, and then in 17, we're overspending about $8 million. And as I talked about earlier about ODOT's proposal to take back funds based on that 75, 50, and then 25% starting in 2014, those are the thresholds then based on those percentages. Anything above this amount, ODOT would be potentially taking back from AMATS. So then the numbers at the bottom show the difference between what our actual balance is and what the threshold is. So we're underneath by $11 million, 5, 7, and then 12.5 at the end of 2017. And I ran some of these numbers by both Columbus and I call the feds, just to let them know what our intentions are in over-programming. We were told that we weren't the problem as far as Ohio MPOs, because we do a good job at spending our funds. But that, and ODOT was saying that more so that we're trying to have the projects that are programmed to be sold on time so that we get our budgets down rather than excessively over programming. But does not mean that we can't do this.
Victor?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't want to interrupt, but I just wanted to add for context, maybe for those of you that are new to AMATS, you might be wondering, why do we keep talking about these funding balances? Why can't they spend their money? And just a little bit of background, and this might make the rest of the presentation make more sense. Basically, it's one of two reasons. Either when projects go to sell and go to bid, they come in under the bid, which is great. I mean, that's a good thing to have happen, but then that adds to our balance. And then the other issue is we do have projects that, for many reasons, they're complicated, they run into problems, and they don't sell in the fiscal year that they were anticipated to. So they normally always do sell, and you know the project gets completed, but if it was programmed in 2011 and it went to 2012 and it was a $6 million project, we have a $6 million balance. So sorry to interrupt you, Victor. I just wanted to clarify that.
That's good to mention for some newer people that are here. So then the next table is in the subcommittee, as I mentioned about the lapsing and how that affects the individual funding programs. We didn't have that information when the subcommittee met, but what they did also was to just to ensure that we don't have any lapsing of our funds, is they recommended to fund an additional, I think that's 11 projects under the resurfacing program. So they basically what they did was went further down that list. The first 25 were approved for funding in December. They went from the next one on down, and so that would be another $4 million in resurfacing program funds. And then adding those additional resurfacing projects to our funding program, this is the resulting balances. So we start getting negative starting in 14, and then we're way out there, and well, in 2017 we're over programmed by $12 billion, and then we're clearly way, way under ODOT's threshold of what they will start taking our money back at. Again, the subcommittee did not see this information. We didn't have that at the time when the subcommittee met. So with that, just kind of a quick summary of the projects that are being recommended for funding. Most of them are in the operational category, and that's the projects that basically include and increase the operation of a roadway without adding a new lane. So that would include most of the CMAQ projects, and those are typically signal coordination projects, and most of the STP projects, ones that would be adding like turn lanes. And then the next category is the preservation projects, and that's essentially all the resurfacing projects that are being recommended for funding. And that's 27%, so almost 60% of our funds is going to increase the operational capacity of our transportation system. And then there's a couple projects in there that do add capacity. In other words, they add lanes, and that's 9% of our funding goes toward that. And then the 5% is our bike and pedestrian type projects. And included in the operational are the transit projects that are being recommended for funding under our CMAQ program. In years past, the capacity part of the pie would have been a lot bigger. And this just shows the trend that we're looking to preserve what we have out there rather than expanding the transportation system in our area. And just a couple of things just to note really quick. Our funding policy cap for SCP and CMAQ program is $6 million. Nobody requested that in this round of funding. In years past, we had a few projects at that amount. And we're approving now $58 million in projects in this round of funding, and that's for, I think it's 71 new projects. Typically, we would approve in a round of funding anywhere between $28 and $33 million. Again, this is $58 million. And then down at the bottom, you can see our, including these new projects and the projects that are currently in our program, we're looking at there's about $132 million worth of projects. And if, there's a bunch of different statistics out there, but based on one of them, that translates to about 4,000 jobs in our area. So the next step is that once this committee approves these projects, we'll be sending out a letter of approval funds to the sponsors. They'll have 45 days to get a programming package submitted into ODOT. And then at that time, ODOT will start setting up scope meetings where the sponsor will come in, and we'll come in, and ODOT will meet out on the project site, make sure everybody knows exactly what the projects are, what the limits are, and what's involved. And then our next round of funding, we'll start in the fall of 2013, and then about this time, 2 years from now, in 2014, there'll be approval for the new projects in the next round, and that'll be for fiscal years 2018 and 2019. So with that, three resolutions in front of you. The first one is approval of the enhancement projects. Resolution 2012-02 is for both the STP and CMAQ projects. And then the last one is for the additional resurfacing projects.
The chair will entertain a motion for resolution 2012-01.
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Is there any discussion?
I think staff did a really good job on this. Thank you very much.
Is there any other discussion?
Appreciate it.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Same sign. Motion approved. The second resolution, 2012-02. The chair will entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Is there any discussion? Hearing no discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. And the third resolution, 2012-03. The chair will entertain a motion.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion passes. The next resolution is 2012-04. approving amendment number 9 to the transportation program for the calendar year 2012 through 2015, and add Cleveland Madison Road and State Route 18 to the revised scope and funding and schedule of the four existing projects.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will be discussing resolution 2012-04, which is amendment 9 to our current 2012-2015 TIP. This is attachment 6B in your packet. This resolution adds two new projects, Cleveland Maslin Road and the City of Norton, from Shannon Road to I-76 and State Route 18, just east of the Medina County line, adding a new bridge. And I would like to distinguish that these new projects are different from the projects that Victor just presented, because these have federal money in them, but they don't have MS funds in them directly. So these are two new projects, and then revisions to four existing projects: Inglewood Street, Lobby Road, State Route 18 resurfacing in Summit County and Fairlawn, and then the intersection of State Route 93 and 619. The staff recommends approval of resolution 2012-04. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to try to answer them.
Are there any questions? Hearing no questions, the chair will entertain a motion.
So moved.
Is there a second? Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion 2012-04. The last item on the agenda, the resolution would be 2012-05, approving amendment number 10 to the Transportation Improvement Program for the calendar year 2012 through 2015 to add funds for bus shelters for Parta. Mr. Gardner?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attachment 6C in your mail out. Parta has requested that funds be added to fiscal year 2012 of the TIP for the purchase of bus shelters. A balance of AMAS attributable funds is available for the addition of this project. Parta is requesting to add these capital funds for the purchase of bus shelters at $30,000 in federal funds, with a total project cost of $37,500. The staff recommends approval of resolution 2012-05. Are there any questions?
Are there any other questions? The chair will entertain a motion.
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Resolution 2012-05 has passed. Is there any other business to come before the committee?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I'd like to publicly announce that Jason, or he might have some information for us, that he's now off the market for all those ladies out there. And he's engaged.
Yeah, I got engaged. thank you. First time, and I'm hoping it'll be the last.
Does that require a motion?
You ain't saying thank you. She's saying thank you.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Meeting is adjourned.